I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your prayer requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the seventh chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the two men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he restored sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in the king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, this marks the end of soup and sandwiches. The last of our midweek Advent services. No, I'm not going to tell you which meal I like most, because that'll get me in trouble I don't need to go into. But over these past couple of weeks, and including tonight, we've been talking about ways of making Christmas more authentic, whether it's sort of in rebelling against the world's idea. We also talked about worship and giving. We sort of created a three-foot stool that now we're going to put the greatest way that we can celebrate Christmas on top of that. You know, the first couple of weeks was sort of, you want to look at it as an insulating ourselves from the world or sort of defensive measures. Well, today we're going to look at celebration and cheer. That's not the word for tonight. That's going to be said in a moment. The passage I want to look at is from Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The angels, that very first Christmas night, are giving an invitation to the shepherds. And part of that invitation was, what you're going to go and see is something that you have to experience to make it part of your life's story. and had to become part of them. They had to go and see this. Look at the words the angels say. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It's one of those things, you keep seeing that word you appear. So it has to mean something. Yes, the birth of Christ is the most important thing, but the shepherds themselves had to experience this. This, as I said, this is something they needed to add to their own life story so they could continue to tell it afterwards. And if you want a full Christmas next week, that story has to be part of your life story because it makes a difference in all of our lives. Gotta let go of the idea for Christmas. Let's hope everything goes well. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm betting that almost everyone sitting here tonight has had the thoughts, oh, please keep Uncle Harry quiet when he and Bob get discussing politics. Then I'm finding dried mashed potatoes in corners of the kitchen in July. See, you're laughing, so you know what's happened to you. You are just hoping it goes well and somebody doesn't mess it up somehow. Not, of course, if that ever happens in my household. Well, actually, in my household, it's please keep my mouth shut. Anyway, let's change from that idea of hoping everything goes well to an idea of celebration. As the Christmas story has got to become part of our life story. We need to experience the very same things that the angel spoke about. And that brings us to the key word of tonight is receive. By the way, the word joy that the angel spoke about, it comes from the same root word that we get grace, gift of God, and thankfulness. Now think of the great circle just around that one word. Because all those words came from the same root word. Have the joy. Why? Because you have the grace you don't deserve. And it's a gift from God. See how each one of these words get built off the same word joy? You have the grace. Grace. It's a gift from God, which produces thankfulness. And when you're thankful for something, what do you experience? Joy. Do you see how this works together? All the way through. I don't know, maybe just from a wordsmith's perspective, I love the way God took this word and teaches a whole bunch of truths and then brings us back to this unending circle. And the joy of that message given to the shepherds and then to us becomes... We receive that, let's try that again in English, that joy becomes part of our story when we receive it. See, sometimes I speak backwards English and then I can put it back in the right word order. Most of the time. All right. We receive it. We receive the joy of that message. And by the way, it's harder to receive than to give. Give a compliment sometimes. See what you get. Oh, come on. All right, man, I'm going to get you all in trouble now. Just don't move, don't flinch, don't laugh. But you know how hard it is for women to take a compliment. Say, honey, you look really nice tonight. And they will respond with usually, I'm glad you think so. Do you know what I've always wanted to respond to that? If I'm the only one that thinks so, then I must be insane because I'm in disagreement with everyone else in the world. So no, dear, you look like a dirty dishcloth. I got the car keys, so I can say that. All right, it's difficult to give a compliment because sometimes you get, oh, it was nothing. Thanks, buddy, somebody for doing a job. Oh, it was nothing. Huh? Really? Or you offer to help somebody to do something, and what do they say? I'll do it myself. Yes, thank you, should be. I'll do it myself. Here, do you need help lifting that? No, I got it. Okay, that's why all men have bad backs, because the wife says, can I help you carry that? What do we say? No, I got it. It's hard to receive a compliment. But there's something very powerful in the act of receiving something. I'm going to repeat that. There's something very powerful in the act of receiving, because it not only says the gift is appreciated, it honors the one who gave it. And yes, I think it was you, Dan, that says thank you. Yes, that should be the response. Or I would take it one step further. Thank you, I'm grateful. And it's also hard to accept gifts with no strings attached, especially if they're a big deal gift. Because as soon as somebody gives you a really big deal gift, what do you think? Exactly! See, we learned that from politicians. What are they going to get out of it? All right? Excuse me. It's hard to accept gifts with no strings attached. But you ever notice how kids receive gifts? Hand a gift to a child at Christmas. Do any of them ever say, oh, I don't deserve this? Oh, you really shouldn't have? What do they do? You know, they know how to receive a gift. Well, think about that when it comes to the whole gift of Christmas. Luke 18:17 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. We can learn a whole bunch from children when it comes to our relationship with God. Salvation's a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Four times Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Romans, wrote about salvation being a gift, and just two of them, for example, in chapter 5, verse 15, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have enough trouble receiving gifts from people or receiving compliments from people. We have a very hard time accepting the compliment that God gives us when he says, I see you as my holy people, my children. We have a hard time accepting that. We also have a hard time accepting his gift. To think that we inherit all the riches of heaven based on nothing I do and is a straight gift from God, I think too many people in the world, one of the many reasons they have problems with Christianity is it's too good to be true. And if God gives us all the riches of heaven, which, by the way, no sweet potatoes there, remember that. All right, all the riches and beauty of heaven is ours. Is there anything we can give in return that can possibly equal it? A tenth of it? You know, it's kind of like, I just heard Bill Gates is worth $500 billion. Imagine if you got invited to Bill Gates' house for Christmas. What are you going to bring for a gift? I do not want to equate God with Bill Gates, so we're not going to take that analogy too far. But what could I possibly bring to God that's even possibly going to come near to the riches he gave us? We can't earn it, and we sure didn't deserve it. And the gospel, or Paul's letter to the Romans says this becomes a stumbling block to many people. We need to open up our hands like children do on Christmas Day. When the Lord offers us salvation and all the gifts of heaven, forgiveness of sins, we should be like those kids. I want it. Don't you love the little ones when they do that with their fingers? That's the way we should be. But we're dignified adults. When we hear this stuff, we go, well, surely I've got to do something. Think of it this way too, with children. Look at their expressions when they get that one gift they really, really wanted. They light up, they're excited, they have that look of pure joy on their face. That is the response we should have then to the Christmas story itself. Jesus says, again, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You know, I'm thinking next year when I'm asked to give my Christmas list to my family, I'm going to put down, and I think this would be a good thing for all of us, put down instead of the things I want, the things I'm thankful for. Then when you get done with all that list, which should be far longer, I hope, than all the things you want, but you're thankful, you list all the things you're thankful for, then compare that, the things you're thankful for, compare that to the gift of Christ, our Savior. Let's go back to that circle of words. Comes right out of our words of institution. After the cup, he gave thanks and said to them, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When we look at everything Christ has done for us, we can only respond by giving thanks. Notice Christ himself gave thanks before he instituted the Lord's Supper. Throughout the Gospels, read again and again how Christ was thankful for. 2 Corinthians 9, 14 and 15 tells us, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Take the opportunity to give thanks. Now, I know we all do this on Christmas Day, and it's just because of the way of opening up gifts. But you ever think how strange this sounds? We get this gift handed to us, we tear open the paper, we look at it and say, "Oh, thank you," and then put it next to us. Like, what's more? Now, you know, you're going to do that come next Tuesday, and you're going to think of my... Yes, I have these weird thoughts. But think about that. We get a gift, say thank you. "Oh, this is so much appreciated." Boom, put it next to us. See, that's what we don't do with the Christmas story, what we are given at Christmas. We don't just look at Christ in the manger and say, "Great, now let's move on to the next season," like Walmart does. No, on December 26th, Walmart will have Easter stuff out, but at least Valentine's Day. We don't put the gift aside and say, "And now what?" We celebrate. We receive God's gift. Martin Luther said of all the images he could think of for faith, he thought of two open hands pointing towards the person giving it. And that is an awesome picture of what we do with God's greatest gift. He gives it to us. Now, I know on Thursday morning, we go on back and forth on, God gives us the free gift of salvation. Do I receive it by not rejecting it? Yes, we have very philosophical discussions on Thursday morning. I can't even say that with a straight face. And we go round and round, I think, for like the last 3 months on this issue. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. Did I receive it? Did I not reject it? How did I get it? All I care is, I got it. We have the gift of salvation. So what will you receive this Christmas? John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.